Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Flames' lackluster play has created a deep, deep 3-1 hole in the playoff edition of the Battle of Alberta. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, a Stanley Cup playoff edition of the show. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. And yeah, we're here to talk Flames hockey for 45 minutes tonight, 35, 45 minutes tonight. A couple things we got to cover as we're smacking the latter parts, I guess. God, I hope it's the middle of the Battle of Alberta. And it's been, I don't know, it's been a roller coaster of emotions, hasn't it? It's, I don't know what to think. I really don't. It's been a difficult week, hasn't it, Flames fans? We're coming off such a strong performance this year that we've been spoiled, and our expectations are up as high as you can possibly get them. And then to have some of the disappointing efforts that we've had, and some of the very uncharacteristic play that we did not see all year, raise its ugly head as we go to probably the most important series this franchise has faced in the last 30 years. It's disheartening. It's disheartening. It's hard to get excited right now. We're down 3-1. I'm not a quitter. I'm not a guy that says, oh, it's done. We suck. We're horrible. I don't believe that. But I'm also a realist and smart enough to know that, this is a hell of a hole to climb out of, especially when our confidence level, is, I don't know, probably as low as it's been since that four-game losing streak we had as we went into COVID, where we were really playing bad and we got our asses kicked by the Florida teams. And our confidence is at its low point since then. And, I love coming and doing these pods and I get excited, but I wasn't all that pumped tonight to talk Flames hockey because I was disappointed last night. I thought last night was one of those games that when the break started going our way, it's like, hey, this damn thing could be 2-2 after this, and it's a whole new look. But instead, we woke up with a 3-1 deficit, and as I had a little road trip for work today, I didn't want to listen to Flames hockey talk. And that's not like me. I'm excited for the game Thursday night. I'm not nervous or scared anymore because, quite honestly, I don't know, maybe this will help the team. We're the biggest underdogs in the world now to come back in this series, aren't we? Everybody's written us off now. We're not expected to win. We're not going to be the favorites anymore. I'm happy for my our friend of the show, and he's on frequently, Kyle Lewis, who got to go to Calgary for game two, and I hope he enjoyed that trip. And those are things you're never going to forget. And getting to go to Flames playoff games is something that none of us should take for granted. I mean, we're in the middle of Battle of Alberta, and I hope the Red Lot and I hope the Dome is rocking tomorrow night, because we need it to be rocking. As big of a hole as we're in, we need to celebrate this team and we need to get things going. I did learn one thing this week, and I'm going to talk about this on future episodes, but I've learned one thing during this Battle of Alberta. We have one player on this team that has raised his hand, stepped up and said, put the C on me because I am going to be the leader. And that's Michael Backlund. All you naysayers on Michael Backlund need to watch. Has Michael Backlund taken a night off like Matthew Tkachuk has, like Johnny Gaudreau has? The list goes on and on. I'm not just picking on those two. He's been our leader. He's thrown this team on his back and tried to do whatever he's been trying to do. And I don't know. I think it's getting overlooked. I really do. Got a lot to talk about on the show today. As yeah, what do we got? We got all kinds of stuff, don't we? We have got, we're going to talk about a quick rundown of the series scores. We'll get into the Battle of Alberta and go through game by game moments from this series that had us all talking, right? The good water cooler talk from this series. And then the over worry we've had about McDavid, an over focus, maybe that's a better word, over focus. Go through some Flames news. News from the Western Conference playoffs, a good Facebook question, and then we'll put a quick preview on that game five, that do or die game that we're all excited to watch on Thursday night. All right, Flames fans, let's talk about a quick game recap here. Game one, we'll never forget. The Flames at home win 9-6. That was on a Wednesday night. Is that a week ago? Wednesday night a week ago. Oof, wild game. On Friday night, Edmonton bounces back and wins 5-3, and Calgary was not good that night. Game three was Sunday night, and that was a stinker McJinker bad game for the Flames in Edmonton, 4-1. Flames had no hope that night. Game four last night on Tuesday night, and that one was also at Rogers Place in Edmonton. And another outcome that I thought we deserved a better fate, we fall 5-3. And yeah, that's the hole we're in. 3-1. The brink of elimination. Let's see what happens. You take it one game at a time. And, you know, here's how you got to look at it in this perspective. So let's say we win Thursday night at home, and now we're 3-2. Well, that it looks a whole lot better, doesn't it? Because that's the same point we were against Dallas, right? And you got to win one more, and then all of a sudden it's 3-3. And then it's, you know, pucker the butt cheeks if you're the Edmonton Oilers and let's start worrying because it's a do or die game for them. I don't know. This can be done. But we're going to have to see one hell of a good performance on Thursday night. All right. Let's talk about each game and some of the intriguing things that happened, and it started the first game. And this was probably going to be one of the most talked about hockey games for a long, long time. It's forgotten right now because of how poorly Calgary's played since. But man, oh man, oh man, 51 seconds in, 2 straight goals. It is the fastest 2 goals to begin a playoff game in franchise history, 51 seconds. The previous mark was a minute 20 in game 3 of the 95 Western Conference Finals against the San Jose Sharks. And I tell you what, I was going probably the craziest I've been since the 04 run. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, this, you couldn't script this better. We've knocked Smith out immediately. He looks like garbage. His confidence is junk. This team's reeling, and we're up 2-0 a minute into this series. There's no way you can script that any better. If a Flames fan would have posted that on Twitter, we would have told him he was crazy. There's a situation during the game where Matthew Tkachuk, Oliver Shillington, and Evander Kane are in the penalty box. Evander Kane and Matthew Tkachuk are in there on coincidental, on sportsman likes. The Shillington penalty ends. Shillington stays in the box. Tkachuk comes out and scores a goal. A goal that Edmonton said was offside, but if you look at it, it hit off an Edmonton player back into the zone. Tkachuk takes it in on the breakaway and scores. But my first thought was, and I'm honest about this, my first thought was, oh my God, that's a timekeeper's error. This is going to get called back. He let the wrong guy out of the box. There's no way Tkachuk should have got out. He was on a coincidental with Kane. He has to wait and come out with Kane. I didn't know the rule. I did not know the rule. You can choose. And I did not know that rule. And that's where I was like, oh my goodness. The Oilers come back. And for us being up 3-1 at one point, up 6-2 at another point. 6-2. Think about that. And then to be 6-6 in the third period. My heart sank. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. We had destroyed Edmonton's confidence completely and then let them back. Not just on the scoreboard, but mentally in the series. We bury them 6-2 or 7-2 game one. This series takes a whole different look. Because I've learned one thing. And I learned it, I mean, I've learned it previous years, but you forget because we're stupid. But I learned it in the Dallas series about how much confidence and momentum play a role in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's huge. And we're seeing it in this series right now. Flames could do no wrong. Flames could do no wrong. And then all of a sudden it was the McDavid show, and he took control, and it's 6-6. And then it's like, we can't stop them from scoring. It was reported by Matthew Tkachuk that after Markstrom let in his sixth goal, he told the teammates, don't worry, I'm shutting the door right now. That he did. Look at this scoring. The three stars of the night after the 9-6 final, Matthew Tkachuk, 3 goals, 0 assists. Elias Lindholm, 2 goals, 0 assists. Johnny Gaudreau, 0 goals, 3 assists. Scoring for the Flames, Lindholm, Mascherano, Richie, Coleman, Tkachuk, Anderson, Tkachuk. Huh. But on the bad side, McDavid, Bouchard, Hyman, Draisaitl, Yamamoto. We allowed 6 goals. And honestly, after game one, I was thinking, my lucky stars, we were out of there with a 1-0 lead. I hated our play. I hated it. We didn't get 9 goals in the Dallas series until game 5. This was the highest scoring playoff game since 1993 when Calgary played LA. And the last thing I'm going to say about this game was Sutter's quote. I loved it. I loved it. After the game, he said, we were told it was a boring series last time. So I told the players yesterday, we've got to score 7-10 goals tonight, knowing full and well that they'd probably score 5-8 and then we could win. So that's what we did. I think his press conferences are as entertaining as the hockey games. Quite honestly, the last couple of games, the way we've played, I'd rather watch the press conference, huh? So then game 2 comes around, and we're feeling pretty good. Not feeling great about the way we played, but feeling good with the result. And feeling like, all right, we can score on these guys. Smith's rattled. Flames fire off 2 goals in the first 6 minutes. It's 2-0. And Smith is on the ropes again. We've done it again. But we couldn't finish him. And we let him back in. And then Tkachuk takes that bad, coincidental, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty and lets the Oilers back in. And I'm not just picking on Tkachuk, but this is something you can't do. I thought the officiating was horrendous this game with goals for both teams called back that neither one should have been called back. Hyman broke the third period tie with a shorthanded goal, and it was downhill from there for the Flames. And this is where the momentum officially switched in this series. Game 3 was in Rogers' place, and it looked like the Flames were shell-shocked. from the get-go, it was all Oilers. They were flat. The Flames are flat. They played unemotional hockey. They chased all over the place. Turnovers like crazy. The first line was non-existent. And this team was so preoccupied with McDavid, we forgot that we were even playing. And the Oilers' offense in this game was fantastic. Draisaitl finishes the game with 4 assists. Evander Kane, a natural hat trick. McDavid, 3 assists. Jeez, it was hard to watch. Our defense was awful. I thought Oliver Shillington and especially Noah Hanifin looked like they were a duck out of water. Hanifin was just getting used, abused, and I don't know. McDavid made him look atrocious. And I'm a Hanifin fan, and I'm saying that. In the third, Milan Lucic runs Smith. I don't know if you'd call it runs, maybe hits. I don't know that he tried to avoid it, but he sure as hell held up. Edmonton was screaming for supplemental discipline. He got a 5 in a game and was out the rest of the game. I thought that was plenty, but boy, was it a heated talking point in Edmonton. As you'd swear, he ran him through the back wall. And that's what Daryl Sutter said. He said he didn't run him. If he'd have ran him, he would have been suspended and Smith would not be playing goal the rest of the series. I don't know. I thought more got made out of that than what should have been. Vladar did come in the third for Markstrom, because Markstrom was not good. Uncharacteristic goals. And everything we didn't think that would happen with Markstrom was happening. I remember I was asked prior to this series, you know, what's your thoughts on this series? And I said, well, the first thing that stands out is I feel a hell of a lot more confident going into this series with Markstrom in my net than Mike Smith. And I'm proven wrong on that one, huh? I can't believe I'm saying that. But see, that's a bright spot, Flames fans. As much as Mike Smith, and we've seen it live, we saw it when he was with us. As much as Mike Smith can carry you and have good games, the guy can explode and not stop a beach ball. We've seen it. And it's there for the picking. And that's why you can't quit. And that's why you can't give up. But I'm telling you something. If our first line doesn't show up, and if we don't get the Matthew Tkachuk that wants $9 million and the Johnny Gaudreau that wants $9+ million to produce, we're not winning. And it'll change summer negotiations with those two. I'm telling you that right now. And it should. Because when does the money really get paid? When you produce in the playoffs. Because there's one goal, right? And that's the Stanley Cup. They don't have parades in Calgary for President's Trophies, do they? They do for the Stanley Cup. And if you're going to pay a guy $9+ million, he better be a winner in the playoffs, right? How many playoff series do we have to go through to look and search for that winner? How many second chances? How many third chances? It's time. It's time for these superstars that want the big coin to show us they're worth the big coin. Game 4 started with a targeting incident. As the Edmonton Oilers fans were screaming that Leon Draisaitl's ankle is being targeted by Slash, and they reported it to player safety, hockey ops, and the officiating departments, and that they were going to watch it very closely. Never mind the fact that Tanev plays, and we all know he has an upper body injury, and everybody that could take a shot at him did, and Hyman took one when he didn't even have the puck that hurt him bad. But nothing there. It's okay. Because it only goes one way, right? The horrible goals continued as Markstrom allows. I don't know what he was doing. He was out trying to play the puck 21 seconds in, and boom, it's in the back of our net. Nugent Hopkins with an empty netter. And then we build ourselves a hole right away, and it's like, damn it. In a game where you have to win and you have to even this series, and we spot him one right away. But you know what? After that was over, I didn't mind the way we were playing. Tanev came back into the lineup. He struggled in the beginning. And he couldn't fight off Hyman and on the power play situation, and that results in a goal. He seemed uncomfortable. The Hyman hit on him, hurt him. You could tell he was wincing. He probably played more minutes than he should have. I think he played 19 minutes. I would have loved to have seen him at maybe that 14-minute mark. But he was a calming factor out there. I will agree. He made a difference on this team that injured. Tells you how important Chris Tanev is to this Flames team. If Markstrom's goal wasn't bad enough, we saw Mike Smith let one in from 132 feet away to tie the game at 3-3. And as soon as Anderson shot that and it went in the net, and I saw Mike Smith waving his arms and screaming, I don't know who the hell he was screaming at, because your players can't screen you from 132 feet away. And that's Mike Smith. Blame somebody else, because it's never my fault, right? That's the Mike Smith we know, right? I would love to know what this locker room in Edmonton's like with Evander Kane and Mike Smith. I would give anything. And you know who I'd really like to talk to, because I think he'd be the one that when his career is done would talk about it? Would be Derek Ryan, because he's been on both sides. I can't imagine that locker room's tight. Mike Smith waving his arms, flailing his arms, blaming that when he lets that puck in. Damn it. That's crazy. But this is a game I thought the Flames really let get away. Really let get away. When you get a break like that, you have to make the most of it and you have to capitalize on it. And they didn't do that. And now they put themselves into a deep, deep hole. The series has had a ton of storylines. It's had a lot of interesting things happen in it. Flames are going to have to continue those storylines and really, really make a strong push on Thursday night. Probably the most important part of this series has been Connor McDavid. And no, he's not their leading point getter, as Evander Kane's setting all kinds of point milestones and craziness there, and Leon Draisaitl's racking up the points left and right. But Connor McDavid has really impressed me. I always thought Connor McDavid was good, so don't think that. But he's showing me a new level. He's showing me a level I haven't seen before. And when he gets the puck, it's just everybody just stops in fear. It's crazy to watch. We're not defending him correctly. We're running scared. And when you play in your heels, bad stuff happens. Bad stuff happens. And no, I know Connor McDavid's not the easiest guy to just go take and body off the puck. He's amazing. The guy can do everything. He's dynamite. I used to think Nathan MacKinnon led the league in just sheer takeover of the game. I don't know. Maybe Connor McDavid. Hell, maybe we're going to get to watch next series, huh? I hope not, but maybe we're going to get to see McDavid against MacKinnon, find out who really is the guy that can take charge of a hockey game. Because Connor McDavid has literally taken the Flames and taken their game plan and thrown it out the window and put one thing in their head. Oh my God, how are we going to stop Connor McDavid? Panic mode is in freaking full force in Calgary on what are we going to do? We can't stop McDavid. Hanifin looks so freaking preoccupied he doesn't know how to play his game anymore. And you throw Tanev into the lineup in game four and it calmed, didn't it? It calmed. You can't play on your heels and expect to be successful. It certainly appears that McDavid has elevated his game to a new level. You know, Anderson said that they've let the Oilers take charge. I don't know how McDavid has went from being like a dominating player in this league to a guy, though, that is at completely taking the Flames off their game plan and preoccupied them more with how are we going to defend instead of how are we going to create offensive chances through our defense? Matthew Tkachuk quoted as saying, "We've let one guy beat us a few nights now. Back to the drawing board and figure out why a way to stop him next game." Why can't our superstars take charge of games like that? And I know we don't have a Connor McDavid, but we had the most explosive first line in the National Hockey League this year. And I don't see them taking charge. Connor McDavid is in the heads of this team. You know, if you rewind and you look at series one against Dallas, I think a lot of people would admit that Jake Ottinger was in the head of the Flames. But the Flames pushed. The Flames didn't give up. And the Flames kept going at it and going at it and going at it and solved them and were able to win two games in a row, game six and a game seven. And I thought that was a huge hurdle and a huge milestone for this team. But if we let McDavid into our head to the point where we are taken off of our game plan so badly that we drop this series in five, achieving all those milestones throughout the whole season, and really, I consider the Dallas series a huge stepping stone for this group. It's kind of all for naught, isn't it? Because did we really learn anything by that? If we're falling prisoner to it again in round two? McDavid's not going to get stopped by just one putting a guy on him and shadowing him. He's going to have to be contained by how we react to him when he doesn't have the puck and make it difficult situations for him to get the puck. Because once he gets it, it's all systems go. And it's scary. I mean, obviously, Connor McDavid's got to be a big part of the defensive game plan for this team. But his play and his controlling the puck has allowed Evander Kane to run wild on the Flames. Absolutely run wild on this team. And of all guys we didn't want to run wild, it was Evander Kane, right? Right? It's because McDavid frees it up, man. I was really impressed, though, in game four, and I think it's a good stepping stone for this team that possibly we could win a couple more here, is the fact that, albeit he had two assists, Connor McDavid was fairly contained. He didn't have those moments of complete domination in the offensive zone and just the huge breaks from the defense all the way down to create two-on-ones or breakaways or whatever. He was contained. And that's something that needs to happen in game five for us to be successful. But you can't let a guy get to your head and change your hockey instincts. And I think that's what a couple of our defensemen have done, is instead of playing off instincts, they're playing off their heels, and that's not a recipe for success.
Hey, hockey fans, check out the Debate Hockey Podcast. Hosts Brad Brood and Blake Fryers debate all the happenings throughout the hockey world every single week on the Debate Hockey Podcast.
All right, Flames fan, let's roll through some Flames news. As Daryl Sutter named one of the nominees for the Jack Adams Award, they are Daryl Sutter, Andrew Burnett, and Gerard Gallant. Daryl Sutter is a shoe-in for this in my mind. This year was the biggest season-over-season improvement by any team in the league. The Flames, who missed the playoffs last year, were 26-27-3, a .49 1% win percentage. In this year, they ended up being 50-21-11.677, the sixth best record in the National Hockey League and a Pacific Division Championship. If Daryl Sutter does not win this award, it'll completely solidify in my mind how poorly these awards are handled in the voting. Brady Tkachuk, Keith Tkachuk, and the family were in Calgary for games one and two, and Brady was in full force. sporting the Matthew Tkachuk shirts and the Bud Lights in the pockets and having a good time. Keith Tkachuk looked like he was having a blast. I loved it when he refused to throw his hat after Matthew scored the hat trick in game one. I loved it. I loved the look on his face. I loved every minute of it. But then there was people criticizing Brady Tkachuk for coming to Calgary and cheering for his brother and having fun. Isn't that what we want in hockey? It's not like he was just a bumbling drunk laying on the, you know, bleachers. For gosh sakes, he was having fun, cheering on the sport that we all love. People say I'm old-fashioned, and I am. God, let the guy have a little bit of fun. My goodness. Flames have signed third-round pick Ilya Nikolaev to a three-year entry-level contract. The 20-year-old played in the USHL last year for the Tri-City Storm. 23 goals, 49 assists, 72 points in 58 games. Juuso Välimäki was recalled from Stockton with Kristanev out for games 1-3. Välimäki was there, and with the uncertainty of the injury, he was there as one of the backups along with Connor Mackey. He is still with the Flames right now, even though Tanev did suit up in game 4. Other news from the Stockton Heat, and a story that we will dive into deeper after the season is over. I'll just touch on it now because the details are pretty sketchy, but it has been announced that the AHL affiliate of the Calgary Flames, who were stationed in Stockton, will be moving to Calgary for the 2022-23 season. Details will be coming out, whether there's a name change, jersey change, all those things. We're going to update you. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how it's going to fit in with the Hitman plan. It's just, we'll get into that after the season gets over. That's one of those things that's probably not high on the burner list right at the moment, but something that we will address on the show after the season's over. Western Conference playoff race. The only other series is we're down to 4 in the West. The Colorado Avalanche, St. Louis Blues are playing in a pretty heated rivalry series. That game, that stands right now 3-1 in favor of Colorado as they look to close out the Blues tonight. Colorado wins game 1, 3-2. St. Louis wins game 2, 4-1. Colorado wins game 3, 5-2. And an impressive game 4, Colorado wins 6-3. Let's get a score update on where they are currently right now as we're recording. And they are heading to overtime 4-4 right now. And the Blues look to do what hopefully the Flames do tomorrow night, push that one on to a game 6. There is some disturbing news in that series. As Nazem Kadri ran into Jordan Binnington, knocking him out for the series. I thought it was a goalie interference. I didn't think it was a blatant run. Not some of the stuff that we've seen from Kadri in the past. But St. Louis Blues fans have been outrageous. The players have been outrageous. Player safety fined David Perron $5,000. They've been slashing. They've been targeting. They've been going after Kadri. He literally was jumped from behind a la Todd Bertuzzi. And it's been a pretty disturbing situation in that series. And to make things matter worse, law enforcement has been called in because the Kadris have been receiving police or death threats and horrendously disturbing tweets directed towards them. And you know what, guys? Like I hate the Edmonton Oilers. And right now, I'm not a huge fan of Connor McDavid, Zach Cassian, Evander Kane, Leon Draisaitl, Mike Smith. Yeah, I really don't like Mike Smith. But come on. This is a freaking sport. This is a sport. This is something we're supposed to have fun with. And when you're attacking a player's family and his kids, and I quit reading the tweets because they were so silly and disturbing and just horrendous. The people that are doing, you should be ashamed of yourself. That's outrageous and stupid. It's okay to hate your opponents. It's okay to have heat of the moment. I don't like this guy stuff. When you start dragging it into social media and start harassing them and death threats and family threats and come on, people. Come on. All right. Listener question for this week. I did a little Facebook poll because it was on my mind and it had me really, really thinking. You know, we were down to the Dallas Stars 2-1 and before the game yesterday, we were down to the Edmonton Oilers 2-1. And I remember when we were down to the Dallas Stars 2-1, it was doom and gloom. I was worried. I thought, holy crap, you know. And then we won that. It was 2-2, and it's like, here we go, you know. Well, as I prepped my day yesterday, as getting ready for game four, I thought, geez, is my panic meter higher today than it was when we were down to Dallas 2-1? Because when we were down to Dallas 2-1, I was deathly afraid of Jake Oettinger stealing the series. But I kept thinking, Dallas struggles scoring, but they got Oettinger. So that was my fear. Edmonton, it was like, they have Connor McDavid, Draisaitl, Kane. How the hell are we going to stop them? But on the good side, you know, I feel like we can get to Mike Smith. Because I've seen him be horrendous. So I feel like we can get to him, right? So I was like, well, what was my panic meter? So I thought, you know, what's everybody else's panic meter? So I hopped on one of my favorite Facebook groups, Flames Hub, and I fired out the question. For the second time this playoffs, the Flames find themselves down 2-1. What series had your panic meter higher? Was it Dallas's low offense but Oettinger in net? Or Edmonton's Smith in net but McDavid lighting it up? I had posted this in the morning, and at game time I shut it off just to see where I was at for responses so they weren't influenced by the game last night. And 74 responses in that short amount of time, which is pretty good. Pretty happy with that. 30 people said they were panic meter was higher against Dallas. That's 41% of the respondents said Dallas. And 44 people, 59% said Edmonton. And I thought, well, which one am I a little bit more worried about? And you know which one I think I was a little more worried about? I think I was more worried about Edmonton. And honestly, not because of McDavid, and not because I thought we could get to Smith, or not because I thought Oettinger was going to full out steal the show. But I thought, you know what? We got Markstrom, and I feel pretty good. But now the hole's deeper. And now the hole's really deep. And this is going to be a huge feat for the Flames to come back.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Well, it's down to one, Flames fans. Game 5 goes Thursday night, 7:30 Mountain Time, back at the Saddle Dome. Red Lot will be open. Let's everybody get there. Let's everybody go. Let's everybody make sure we do everything we can to help this team get over this hump and get through this difficult stage. We're down 3-1. And it's... But Thursday night's a big game. You win and it's 3-2. Game 6 scheduled for Saturday night, if necessary, in Edmonton, time to be announced. Game 7 would be scheduled Monday night back at the Saddle Dome, of course, if necessary, time to be announced on that one. We wanted the Battle of Alberta. Well, we got it, didn't we, Flames fans? Oof. Are we liking it now? I don't know. Are we? I'm not liking it right now. But it's do or die. It's one game at a time. It can be done. It's going to take a mammoth, mammoth effort. But I think we spent 40 minutes tonight talking about why it can happen. Seems like a waste of a good season if we don't push this. Burns a little more that it's the Edmonton Oilers that have us on the brink of elimination. But all we can do now as Flames fans is just to cheer as loud as we can, to push and have fun, and pray that the stars show. Pray that Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk, Elias Lindholm all show up. We get depth scoring from a Yarncrook, or a Tyler Toffoli plays better than he's been playing because he hasn't been good. Pray that Markstrom finds this game, posts one of those big time shutouts. Lots can happen, guys. Dallas, Edmonton won 3 in a row on us. It's time to flip the script. Check out flamesunfiltered.com. Have a great week, Flames fans. We'll see you again next week. It's the Battle of Alberta. One last chance.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.